At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in our number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And we will take your phone calls at 508-996-0500. We will take your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We did get a couple of app chat messages. We got one from Jeff, who says the only way to increase the odds of winning is to reduce the number of numbers you can play, or... Jeff, what you can do is reduce the number of players playing, which is what I think is happening. Right? No, you're right. It has to be, it's the numbers. But the odds of getting the jackpot will increase if there's less people playing, because there's less chance that you have to split the jackpot. That's what I'm thinking. So if they're charging $5 a ticket and less people want to play, but the $5 charge allows him to have a beefier jackpot, there's less of a chance that you have to split that jackpot with people. All right, now I know what I'm trying to say. Sometimes it takes me a little while to work it out. I'm only one cup of coffee in. And then Hatch and Mattapoista says, good morning, Tim. Hope your day is starting off well. I'm just curious if you've seen any of the 60 Minutes interviews with the vice president and their thoughts. I have not seen them yet. I have not had any time to myself the last couple of days. Last night, I went home. And I ate dinner. I didn't get home till like it's about 7 o'clock. And I ate dinner. And while I was eating dinner, I was watching SNL because I like to watch something I don't have to pay much attention to while I'm eating, so I can, you know, pay attention to my food. And so I had that on in the background, kind of. And then I fell asleep in my chair after I was done eating, then got up and went to bed. I am exhausted. And my crazy October is only starting. But I do have a plan to sit down and watch it. Tonight, I've got to go home and work on a presentation for a library tomorrow. And then tomorrow, I've got to give the presentation. And then Thursday, I've got bowling. Friday, I think I'm going to the movie. I mean, there's a lot going on. And then Saturday, I got a ghost hunt. Oh, so much stuff. But I will try to make time to watch it. I mean, I could always just sit at work and watch it, right? It counts as work. It counts as... something I need to do for my job. So I got the call from Sketty earlier. She had asked for some explanation as to what a puckwudgie is. And if you've never heard about them before, you know, we can give you kind of a breakdown on that. But even if you have heard about them before, you might not be kind of familiar with the lore surrounding them. So I think part of the issue is it's a story that it's a legend that wasn't in the forefront for a long time. It was the work of my friend Chris Balzano and other researchers probably about 20 years ago or so that started uncovering these legends. That before that, people didn't know what a puckwudgie was. People didn't know what, people had never heard the term before. So they, you know, Chris and others discovered this legend and kind of tied it into some of the reports that were happening in what is known as the Bridgewater Triangle. So what is a puckwudgie? So they start, and first of all, apologies before I start on this to any of my Native American friends, okay? Because I told this story at a library in Plymouth one time. I was giving a presentation on the ghost of the Bridgewater Triangle, and or maybe it was, you know, Paranormal Plymouth, whatever it was. But I was talking about puckwudgies, and a woman stood up in the crowd who was Wampanoag and told me not to tell that story, that I have no right to tell that story. It's not my story. It's her people's story, and they don't want me telling it. And besides the fact that I was like, well, you can't speak for all the Wampanoags. But aside from that, my argument was, ma'am, this is our story to tell now because we live here. And you can say, you know, we invaded here. You can say whatever you want. And that might have happened generations ago, sure. But now we all live here amongst these stories. And so they have become ours. We didn't co-opt them. We didn't appropriate them, but we're surrounded by them and they've become part of our culture as well. So if people are reporting having experiences with these puckwudgie creatures, then they have become our story to tell. But I don't mean any disrespect when I tell this story. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm appropriating the culture or being disrespectful to the culture. I have great reverence for this legend and all of the Native legends. But what a puckwudgie was it was a little trickster spirit, kind of an imp, a creature that would play tricks on people and, you know, kind of be benevolent in that. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't malevolent. It wasn't negative. It wasn't trying to hurt anybody. It would just play tricks. And then for some reason, one day, unbeknownst to the natives as to why, the puckwudgies all gathered up on the shores of Assawampsa Pond in Lakeville, where the Wampanoag creator god Mashop lived with his wife. Now, they were giants, and they lived in the pond, and all the puckwudgies appeared on the shore of the pond. They grabbed Mashop and his wife, and they held them underwater and drowned them until they died. And then from that point on, the puckwudgies were considered evil. That's the story the way that I've been told it. Now, I guess there is some differentiation in the legend, but that's the way that it was told to me. And what people will report encountering are these small creatures, you know, about knee high, as Sketty said. Some will report them being as kind of like strangely human looking, but furry. Others have reported saying that they look more like a troll type figure or a gnome, like what Sketty said. And others have reported them as being like a mini Bigfoot creature. In fact, Bill Russo famously saw one that was chronicled in the Bridgewater Triangle documentary, which you can watch free on YouTube. You look for the one from Bristol County Media. The other ones are just copies of that. The original is the one, Bristol County Media, on YouTube. That's Aaron Cadieux and Manny Familare's documentary. But Bill Russo told the story of encountering this small creature that was, you know, calling out to him and saying, "E want you," which he thought was them trying to say, "We want you." So there's all these different variations of what it might be, but the bottom line is they all kind of tie back to this legend. Now, other people have reported, because puckwudgies have become something of legend and of note in the paranormal world, and they've been talked about on some of the paranormal TV shows, and of course the Bridgewater Triangle documentary has become huge. People in other parts of the country report encountering puckwudgies. And those who are followers and chroniclers of these legends will tell you it's not a puck wedgie. A puck wedgie exists within the Wampanoag culture. That if there is a similar creature in a different region or a different tribal area, that tribe has its own legend for what that creature is. So in a way, that is appropriation to start calling somebody else's legend by the name of a Wampanoag legend. It's not an apply-all term. And I think that culturally speaking or mythologically speaking, we're talking about something that to the Wampanoags was a Pukwudgie, to the Irish was the Celts was a leprechaun, to the, or the Gauls. I don't remember who started the leprechaun legend, but it was somebody created that legend of their imp type figure. Fairy, sprites. I think these are all very similar type creatures. And by the way, are you asking me, you know, some of you are probably saying, yeah, but what are you saying, that they're real? I don't know that I think that they're real. I think that people have had experiences, and I believe their experiences, but I don't know that it's necessarily a real creature running around out there in the woods. I think it might be some sort of weird supernatural thing, but I don't think you need to necessarily worry about the Pukwudgies. But certainly, be respectful. Don't take any chances. So that's the Pukwudgie legend in a... So I remember there was one caller who called in when I was talking about these one time on my Saturday morning show back in the day and said that he's a frequent golfer. I won't say who it was because, you know, he's not here involved in the conversation, but well-known caller and well-known golfer. And he called in and said that he saw what he thought was a, when he heard me talking about it, he goes, maybe that's what I saw on the golf course. He had referred to it then as a bush hog. But that he was like, maybe what I saw was what you're describing, a Pukwudgie. So it could have been. But again, I don't really know that I necessarily believe that they're real physical creatures that you can necessarily encounter. But in my line of work, in the legend business, the legend is just as important as the truth. It's important to differentiate between the two. But a good story and a good legend is just as important to share and to continue on as an actual factual encounter. And in my lectures, I always point to The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, that movie. Because in that movie, Jimmy Stewart plays the lawyer who, you know, runs afoul of the outlaw Liberty Valance in the Old West. And he's supposed to get in a gunfight with him. And it's actually John Wayne that shoots Liberty Valance, but everybody thinks it was Jimmy Stewart that did it. And he's hailed as a hero. And years later, he's being honored by the governor and a newspaper reporter is writing a story about him. And he's telling him the real story about what actually happened. And telling him about how it was actually John Wayne that shot him and not him. And when he's done telling the story, he says, so are you going to print, you're going to print the true story? You're going to print the truth? And the editor closes, the reporter closes his book, his notebook, looks up at Jimmy Stewart and says, sir, this is the West. When the legend becomes fact, you print the legend. And I think that's what's happened with Pukwudgie. The legend has become fact. So does it matter if it's true? It doesn't matter. People still tell the story, share the story, and continue on with that story. JJ says, that's going to be my nickname for you, Tim, Pukwudgie. But it would have been more fitting when you were chubby. Pukwudgie sound like they would be chubby. Some of them, some of the depictions of them have them as being short, stout, you know, barrel-stomached creatures. Others have them as being more like lanky and kind of more animal-like. So I guess it all depends on the depiction. But keep in mind that most of those depictions that you see are from, not from natives, but they're from other people who have designed it for, you know, like a there's a children's book about Pukwudgies, or an artist depiction for a website or something like that. Not many of those renderings don't follow the native version of it because the natives don't really talk about it. As that woman, you know, told me, they don't share their stuff. I've tried for years to get the Wampanoag people to come on the show and talk about their quote unquote paranormal beliefs, their spiritual beliefs. And they don't think that it's appropriate to talk about that. Something they just talk about amongst themselves. So we don't necessarily have a clear picture of the legendary version of the Pukwudgie. We just have what we've kind of turned it into with our storytelling. If you want to read more about Pukwudgies, I would recommend picking up the book Dark Woods, Cult Crime and the Paranormal in the Freetown State Forest by Christopher Bolzano. He's got a lot more information in there on there. And there's numerous websites, some of them filled with misinformation, but there are some that have, you know, as true to the legend as people can research. I did a documentary last year with some folks from, I believe it was URI. Yeah, URI. A woman who was a professor there was working on a project that was originally going to be for just for academic purposes. But then she reached out to me and said, you know, they're considering a commercial release for it. And it deals with Native American legends and how, you know, those intersect with the paranormal and how people have kind of commercialized and changed and morphed those stories. So it'll be interesting if that does come out, if we get a chance to view that, you know, what other people have to say about it. Cause I know my feelings on it and I shared those with them and hopefully it, you know, makes the cut, but I'm sure they'll have people much smarter and more intelligent and more invested in it than I speaking on that. I just go back to, there was an episode we did on King Philip's War of Spooky South Coast where there was a board game company. Those companies that create board games that are, how would I describe it? You know, like Warhammer, games like that where there's, you know, it's kind of a strategy game, but there's like role-playing involved and things like that. You can play those, I think they call them table games. You can play them down at the Armory down here in Fairhaven. You know, those kind of games. And I there was somebody that was coming out with a King Philip's War board game. And the native tribe got so upset about this because of how King Philip's War decimated their people. And they were protesting the idea of this. They were speaking out in the media. And so I got both sides to come on Spooky South Coast. I'm proud of a lot of the shows that we've done. Not to toot our horn, but because, you know, it's hard to talk about these topics on the radio and get people to take it seriously. And in this particular episode, this is one that I'm the most proudest of because we got the board game designer to finally talk. Well, we got the two sides to talk with each other, the natives and the board game company, to talk with each other civilly about this. And by the end of the episode, they had agreed to work together to make the game historically accurate and to be a fair and honest and respectful representation of the natives. I don't know how it worked out. They were supposed to send me the game. They never did. Maybe it never happened. But we at least were able to bridge that gap. And I'd like to be able to do that with these legends, but, you know, they've got to come out and tell us their side of things. 508-996-0500. So you've heard me talk about Pukwudgies. You probably think, gee, I'd have to be pretty unlucky to see one of those out there walking in the Freetown State Forest or out in the woods somewhere. But maybe you are lucky when it comes to putting in today's Money Talks cash code into the appropriate box at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app to get your chance to win $30,000. And like the magic of the Pukwudgies, I'm going to make that code appear right now. Abracadabra. The line, bridge was a comfort. Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades and sell a Chevy 69. How bizarre. And that might be what some of you were saying after that Pukwudgie story. You might have heard me saying, like, how bizarre, how bizarre. But that's the kind of stuff that I'll be out there talking about throughout the month of October, Tomorrow night, I'll be talking about presidential paranormal with the Tewksbury Public Library. It is a Zoom presentation. So if you want to watch from the comfort of your own home, I'll be in my own home. Although I'll have the White House behind me for a backdrop because it's presidential paranormal. But if you want to sign into that, you can sign up for the Zoom and get a link from the library. The easiest way to go is to go to tinyurl.com/Tewksbury Library. Or if you go to the Tewksbury Library website or the Facebook page, they have more information. And Tewksbury, by the way, is the correct pronunciation for Tewksbury. So you see it written down. It's Tewksbury, but it's Tewksbury. And if you sign up, you can probably still get a link to be part of that presidential paranormal presentation tomorrow night. Non-political. I know some of you are like, oh, I hear Tim talk about his politics all the time. I don't want to listen to him talk about it at night, too. It's non-political. It's about the ghosts that haunt the White House. It's about the secret space program with the aliens. It's about Teddy Roosevelt's report of a Bigfoot encounter. It's all just paranormal stuff. And libraries will ask me, oh, do you talk about any of the current occupants of the White House in that? And I'm like, yes, I do. All the ghosts still live there. But do we talk about the presidents themselves? We do, but it's just in the context of their ghost stories. So I think you'll enjoy it. And it's free. And you can turn it off if you don't like it. But just remember, if you take a Zoom link away from somebody, that keeps somebody else from being able to get in. So don't take the link if you're not going to be able to make it. And then I'll be local in the coming weeks with some different presentations on haunted objects, ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle, ghosts of the South Coast. And just a little programming note for you, ghosts of the South Coast and ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle, pretty similar presentations. So some people will go to both. That's okay, but it's going to be kind of the same. There's just a few differences, and I talk more about what the triangle is in the Ghost of the Triangle presentation. All right, well, Phil's like, all right, stop talking about the ghosts. I want to give you the news. So let's go to the news with Phil Devitt.
Florida prepares for a powerful hurricane, remembering Whitney Houston's mother, dead at 91. And are you brave enough to travel America's most haunted road?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Category 5 Hurricane Milton is growing into a major problem as it's forecast to make landfall in Florida late Wednesday or early Thursday. It's gaining strength as it rolls across the Gulf of Mexico, now clocking it at 180 miles per hour. That's a 90 mile per hour wind increase on Monday alone. Counties along Florida's west coast have been ordered to evacuate as over 50 are under a state of emergency. Recovery efforts are ongoing in the southeast with Hurricane Helene's death toll continuing to rise. In North Carolina, the death toll has climbed to more than 75, with the western part of the state being hit the hardest. But Governor Roy Cooper says things are getting better.
There is progress in western North Carolina toward recovery.
More than 230 people across the region have been killed from the devastating storm. President Biden had ordered 500 more troops to be deployed to North Carolina to help the recovery efforts. Both former President Trump and Vice President Harris spoke on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel. Harris speaking in Washington, D.C., where she and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff planted a memorial tree on the grounds of the vice president's residence. Trump at a remembrance event taking place at his golf course in Florida. Georgia's Supreme Court is reinstating the state's six-week abortion ban. The ruling comes a week after a lower court had struck the ban down. That decision had allowed the procedure to resume and made them legal up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. The six-week ban will now remain in effect while the Georgia Supreme Court considers the state's appeal of last week's decision. Gospel singer Sissy Houston, the mother of the late Whitney Houston, is dead at 91. Kristen Marks reports.
Sissy Houston's family says she died at her home in New Jersey on Monday while in hospice care for Alzheimer's. In a statement, daughter-in-law Pat Houston says her hearts are filled with pain and sadness. Following the loss of the family matriarch, Houston, a Newark native, had a successful solo career herself, winning 2 Grammy Awards. She also performed with Elvis Presley and Aretha Franklin and was in the girl group Sweet Inspirations with niece Dee Dee Warwick. The vocal group sang backup for many artists, including niece Dionne Warwick. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio.
An American man being held in a Russian prison for allegedly fighting as a mercenary for Ukraine. In April of 2022, 72-year-old Stephen Hubbard was arrested by Russian forces in Ukraine after being accused of fighting against Russian forces for monetary compensation. His family questions Russia's claims, saying Hubbard had moved to Ukraine in 2014 to teach English, and he never owned a gun, and he's not the fighting type. And if you're looking for something spooky to do this Halloween, you might want to drive on the most haunted road in America. As Sarah Lee Kessler tells us, it's in New Jersey.
Something strange in a neighborhood.
There are lots of tales of paranormal activity on Clinton Road in West Milford, a winding 10-mile stretch from Route 23 to Upper Greenwood Lake, where drivers report seeing phantom headlights and a young ghost boy who tosses coins at people from Dead Man's Curve. The car rental company Sixt says this road is the most haunted in America. Interstate 4 in Florida runs second, with Bray Road in Wisconsin placing third. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins in their season opener with the Florida Panthers tonight at 7. Celtics continue the preseason when they host the Philadelphia 76ers Saturday at TD Garden. And the Patriots and Houston Texans in Week 6 action at Gillette Stadium on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunshine and cool fall temperatures in store for the rest of the week. Overnight lows in the 30s could lead to frost. Good idea to bring in those sensitive plants. Looking to the weekend, more sun and milder temperatures near 70. This WBSM News Update brought to you by Sea Streak Sunset Cruise, taking the sights of historic New Bedford from the water on Saturday, October 12th. Book now at seastreak.com. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Just a clarification, because I got an app chat message from Dan in New Bedford, not the one that I had to block yesterday. And Dan, I sent you a response on app chat too. But so basically, Dan is concerned that I'm getting him confused with the person that's a jerk. So you can use whatever username you want on the app, but it's tied into your account. So I can see what the account is in addition to the username that you use. So I know when it's one person and when it's the other person. And although this Dan and I disagree on a lot of things, this person has never been mean, never been nasty. And, you know, I'm happy to go back and forth because it's always been respectful. So not the same person. And I did not block you. And I would not block you. And I can always tell the difference anyway. Even if I can't see the difference in the account, I can tell just by the fact that you have thoughtful responses that are put together with good grammar and proper spelling that makes sense. Whereas the other Dan, the one who insults me and just puts a bunch of garbage in those app chats, it's just ramblings that don't make any sense and are spelled wrong and bad grammar and all of that. So I will only block people who use inappropriate language. If you use the words that I can't say on the air, then I'm not going to, first of all, I'm not going to read it. But secondly, I'm not going to let you keep engaging. The same way that if you called into the radio every day and just like, let's just say you called Chris McCarthy every day and he said, Chris, you're a loser. And that's all these, you know, then you would not be allowed to call in anymore because you're not bringing anything to the table. You're not using that opportunity responsibly. And I don't need to clutter. And by the way, this person sends repeated messages throughout the course of the show. I don't need to clog up the app chat feed with garbage and then miss the actual ones that I want to read that bring in a good point. So the same way that we could block you from sending a text, the same way that we could not take your phone call, we don't have to take your app chat messages either. So just keep that in mind. And plus, also, I'm just going to read what it says. So if you use words I can't use on the radio, you're going to get me in trouble. I'm Ron Burgundy. I just read what's on the paper. So I'm trying to follow this Dunk-a-Latte controversy a little bit more. And Reddit is full of threads about this. Apparently, this is something that has been ongoing, not just here, but all over, that they've rolled out this Dunk-a-Latte, and the response has been so overwhelming that they can't keep up with the supply needs for the coffee milk syrup, the coffee milk that they use to make this. But what's interesting is, as I said before, you know, they've got to kind of utilize the ingredients that they're told to utilize. They can't freeform it because you want everything that you get, you want it to taste the same from one Dunkin' to another. So they can't just say, well, I'm going to make my own coffee milk. I'll just go get some Silmo syrup down at the store, and we'll make our own coffee milk. And you've got to follow their recipe because it's got to taste the same from one to the other. But there are supposed Dunkin' employees in these Reddit threads who are saying, I don't understand what the problem is because we have coffee syrup that we utilize to make the frozen coffee drinks. We still have that in stock. Just tell us what the appropriate ratio is that you want us to use to mix that with the milk that we already have on hand. And we can make our own coffee milk to make the Dunk-a-Latte instead of having it have to come already made for us. Because apparently people are showing up wanting this drink and are angry about it. I'm seeing social media comments from people who say, I've been getting one of those every day. I don't know if that's a good idea. They're really high in sugar. They're very good. I had one. So I like the chippy. A lot of people will say, oh, the chippy's too sweet for me. And I only have a chippy every couple of months because it is pretty sweet in my estimation. So I like it. The Dunk-a-Latte reminds me of it, but with a little bit more coffee flavor. Like if somebody poured a regular coffee into a chippy. So I was, you know, happy the one time that I got it. I enjoyed it, but I really haven't felt the need to get another one. Also, I've heard that it mixes well with some different alcoholic libations. So, but the response has been huge for it. And it was only supposed to be a limited time promotion anyway. And people are already upset that it was going to be going off the menu, but now they're finding out they can't get it because the supply has been so overwhelming. And I guess in some places, according to these Reddit threads, they're just choosing to pull the promotion rather than keep it going, but have to tell people, I'm sorry, we don't have it anymore. And I forget what it was. There was something I went to get at Dunkin' one time, and they're like, we don't have that anymore. And I'm like, you just rolled it out. I still see the commercials on TV. And they say, yeah, we're not doing it because we can't keep it in stock, so we're just not doing it. I forget what it was. I think it was last spring, so it would have been something that would have come out around that time. Because I remember it was a warm day. Anyway. So if you are one of those people who have been shut out of the Dunk-a-Latte world, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why they can't just make their own coffee milk. Granted, you know, corporate can send down the recipe, use this much milk, this much syrup. Mix accordingly. But it's not that hard to make coffee milk. It's not that hard to make it right. Now, there can be variations in it. I'll be honest, when I'm using my Silmo, some days I want a little bit more syrup. Some days I want a little bit less syrup. It's all in how strong and sweet I want it. But if somebody told me this is the recipe to use to make it, please follow the recipe, I'd be able to do that. And I think most people would be able to. Or have we just reached the point where people that work at places like Dunkin' don't know how to do it unless it's exactly the way that they're supposed to do it? I would think that in the coffee world, there are so many requests. See, it used to be that you would go to Dunkin' and say, I'd like a large coffee, hot, light and sweet. That's how my aunt orders it, light and sweet. And the person would make it light and sweet. Now they have to ask you, well, how many milk? How many sugar? And like when you're on the app, 5 sugar, 5 milk. By the way, they default to that. If you order a large or an extra, like an extra large hot coffee or a large iced coffee, they default to that. 5 of each. So just when, oh, this is so sweet, it's because it defaults to 5. You're going to have to change it if you want less. But that's the methodology they have to use now. And one other quick thing while I'm talking about Dunkin' here. Dunkin', it wouldn't be that hard to create an extra large iced coffee. Because I can't tell you how many times I've gone there and ordered an extra large iced coffee and they have to tell me, we don't have an extra large iced coffee. The biggest we have is a large. Would not be that hard to create one. And by the way, that's what I mean when I say extra large. I just forget that they don't call it that. 508-996-0500. I do have to take a break, but I can take a call first. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Tim?
There you are.
There I am. Hey, what's going on?
It's on your mind.
So, I'm going to change the subject just slightly.
Sure.
So, Hurricane Miller is going to be...
We lost. And we're losing you. Yep, we lost you. I'm going to take the break, Ray. You try to get into a better spot and give me a call back. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in. I think we've got the caller back in a better spot now. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, let's try this again.
There you are.
There I am. Yeah. So I'm out here in Florida, and, you know, everybody's talking about this hurricane that's coming in. So the crazy thing that I'm hearing out here is it's HARP, which is the weather manipulation machine that they are controlling the weather out here.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many people that believe with Helene and Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually one of the ones that probably really started making this popular of recently. She actually overlaid a voting district over the path of Hurricane Helene and how it was, look, it went over all these red districts and one that were heavily Trump. And now the same thing is happening with Milton. It's funny because these same exact people who are blaming, cloud seeding and weather manipulation are the same ones that say God is the one who manipulates the weather when it hits places that are blue. Like if it hit a blue county that, you know, legalized gay marriage, you're like, see, God's punishing them. You know, God's punishing these people, these heathens. But when it's hitting their side of the aisle, you know, a redder state, now all of a sudden it's the government's doing it. These people are ridiculous, and we actually elect some of them to Congress.
I mean, first of all, it's Florida. Like, where are you going to hit blue in Florida, you know?
No, well, you can hit Miami. Miami's a pretty blue area in Orlando, but other than that, yeah, you're going to get red.
When you start getting into the upper part of Florida and on the west side, you're going to get a lot of that, and that's where the path of these hurricanes have been. It's not political. It's the way that the Gulf Stream works.
Right. No, it's regardless of that, it's just these people, they manipulate their own political thought to fit the narrative. So if this was hitting, if Hurricane Milton was hitting Miami, they'd be like, it's because they, you know, are okay. You know, they are okay with gay marriage over there. Or if it hit like an, you know, another, like a county that is bluer and more liberal, they're like, God's punishing them for their heathen ways. But because right. it's in red states or a red county or a red area, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks, it's weather manipulation to suppress the Trump vote. And we elect them to Congress. Then,
well, she thinks she thinks the logical. Jews are behind it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. They're space lasers. It's these people, the diehard conservative, anti everything government are just as bad as the other side of the aisle. But what I'm hearing here, it's just hilarious. It's just they will. If Milton was hitting New Bedford, they'd say it's because, you know, we legalize weed and we legalize marijuana and we legalize gay marriage. It would have nothing to do with government manipulation of the weather. But because it's hitting them, it's government. But if it was hitting somewhere else, if it hit California, it's because of God, and God's punishing people.
See, so and she is such an idiot. And the fact that she puts that idiocy on display every day on Twitter and people support that idiocy is just like, I don't understand how people would want to associate with her outright dumbness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's you can actually say it's a reflection of the electorate. It's a reflection of the voters that put her in office. These people have like the brain, like two brain cells between a married couple, and they're probably related. And it's terrible because they dumbed down Congress, which is supposed to be making laws that make our country better. And you got these people like her and the one out in Colorado. And you have the one, you know, you have the ones on the left that think the same thing. You have the people out in Minnesota. We elect these people because they're a reflection of the people that show up to vote. And this is something that we've always talked about, is we need to get more involved in the primaries so we can get the base out of controlling the general election. The base are the crazy ones. You know, the base of political movements, whether left or right, are the crazy ones. They're the purists. And it leaves the middle ground nothing to really support when it comes to the general election. Marjorie Taylor Greene, if more people voted in the primary, Marjorie Taylor Greene would not be an elected official. She would not be in Congress, and neither would the ones out in Minnesota, and neither would the one out in Colorado. You just need to get involved in the earlier process of the party politics. Or even if you're an independent, like, get involved in that party to get the crazies out and get more level-headed, logical people that think for a living rather than react for a living and just want, you know, reactions on social media.
Well, she's going to make headlines as much as she can between now and the election. And then after that, we're going to have to deal with all of the stuff that's coming out about her book that'll be released November 21st. So I don't know how she wrote a book, but she's got a book coming out November 21st called MTG, because she couldn't spell her full name.
Well, yeah, I can't believe she has it. Well, you know what they say, if you're going to write a book, that means she's going to go for a higher office. Usually they try and use that as a popularity gauge for higher office. So mm-hmm. maybe she's going to go for Senate or something in that aspect. You know, a statewide electorate versus obviously your, cause she's just a congresswoman. So it's only a district, but if she gets a statewide, like if she looks at the sales of her book and it goes statewide, she's going to actually go after, there's two senators there. I think they're both Democrats, correct? In Georgia?
No, I'm not sure. Well, I know Warnock is.
Yeah, but you got Warnock, and what about the guy, I think it's an O. He starts with an O, the last name.
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head. But I got to hold you there anyway, because I got to take this break before we run out of time.
Have a good one, bud.
You have a great day. Be safe down there, too. Sorry. I got to take this final break, and we may have a minute or two to wrap things up when we come back. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
But tomorrow they'll be held to pay.
We'll be headed for the Syrian side. Time to make the seed all day. negatively. I mean about future calamity. I used to think the idea was obsolete until I heard the old man stamping his feet.
And welcome back in. That is Hell from Squirrel Nut Zippers, which, again, I only found out last week was actually the name of a candy. I don't know why I didn't know that already. But they're going to be playing at the, I think, the Greenwich Odeon coming up in December. So I'm going to try to go see them. I've never seen them. Love their stuff. So